Elections analyst Samuel Lubell, in his prescient book, The Future While It Happened, 1973, called Southern Baptists the group having the most explosive impact, who may have emerged holding the balance of voting power in the South and perhaps in the whole country. Nixon's speeches, in fact, seem designed to appeal to the traits which characterize Baptists: an ingrained individualism, suspicions of government, and resentment of taxes. Baptists generally do not hold society responsible for man's failings, but believe that each man must find personal salvation by mastering his own inner soul and coming to know Jesus personally. They seem less concerned with changing society than with changing oneself. Largely unheralded, this was the debut of the Southern Baptists as a Republican electoral force. A still grander overview of the forces active in 1972 came from futurist Herman Kahn. The biggest movement in America in the 70s is the Counter-Reformation. Religions such as the Baptists, Church of Christ, Pentecostals, Jehovah Witnesses, and the Jesus Freaks are all on the same rise. I want to emphasize this because the United States is the only Western country that seems to be going through this Counter-Reformation on a large scale. But the Watergate scandal, besides destroying Nixon's presidency and the near-term Republican ability to capitalize on favorable trends, gave the Democrats the brief chance for a regional comeback in the election of Southern Baptist Jimmy Carter as president. The GOP's edge among churchgoers shrank as Southern Baptists in 1976 gave 51% of their votes to Carter, whose credentials ranged from teaching Sunday school to fluency in the convention's figurative language of Zion. The SBC had even published Carter's campaign biography, Why Not the Best, through its Boardman Press in 1975. Carter's misfortunes in the White House, while most glaring in the economic and foreign policy arenas, also had a powerful but less obvious religious component. Watergate's revitalization of liberal activism, as we have seen, escalated issues, from the Equal Rights Amendment to renewed efforts to take religion out of public schools, that were simultaneously provoking a religious counter-mobilization. Between 1977 and Ronald Reagan's first year in office, a half dozen new national organizations linked to religious conservatives emerged: the National Federation for Decency, 1977, Evangelist Jerry Falwell's Moral Majority, 1979, the Religious Roundtable, 1979, the Christian Voice, 1979, the National Affairs Briefing, 1980, the Council on Revival, 1980, and the Council for National Policy, 1981. By 1980, the president from Plains, Georgia, found himself in a crossfire akin to that which in 1979 had defeated his moderate faction allies in the Southern Baptist Convention. Grassroots sentiment had shifted to the right. Carter's own positions on the new religious agenda now displeased SBC adherents and pastors, 60% of whom approved of Falwell's Moral Majority. The Georgian never broke with the Southern Baptist Convention while president, but its earlier support of him chilled. In 1980, it passed a resolution calling Carter's White House Conference on the Family a general undermining of the biblical concept of family. Other resolutions opposed abortion and the Equal Rights Amendment. Surveys showed Carter handily surpassing Reagan in public perception as a religious person and man of high moral principles, but such abstractions seemed not to matter. The incumbent's Christianity was glum and quirky. Liberal Georgia historian Dan Carter later recalled the luckless president as a man who talked of limits and self-denial, of aggression and pain. At its heart, the science of governing was a willingness to engage in an endless struggle to control man's sinful nature. Under these circumstances, victory went to Reagan and his ability to mirror regional viewpoints and evoke the optimism of Southern Baptist evangelism and exceptionalism. Whereas Jimmy Carter had taken 10 of the 11 Southern states against Gerald Ford in 1976, Reagan won 10 in 1980, leaving Carter only his home state. Another significant change emerged in that year's U.S. Senate races. Catholic Republicans Don Nichols and Jeremiah Denton, both staunch conservatives, won seats in Oklahoma and Alabama, two states where anti-Catholicism had been visible in the presidential elections of 1928 and 1960.